Thank you, guys. Nathan looks like a zombie. It's because he's about to have a baby. Well, not him, but you know what I mean. They've got an appointment for tomorrow, so y'all can keep them in your prayers. I was there about 2 weeks ago, I guess it was. We had an appointment on a Monday morning. I didn't talk about it on Sunday with anybody, I don't think. But I was kind of a zombie that morning, and that's okay. But anyway, appreciate you, buddy. We're talking about some really cool stuff this morning. I'm excited about it. We'll be talking about some really cool stuff. Not that we don't. I mean, it's usually the gospel, right? So, but for the next several weeks, we're going to be kind of little by little, you know, letting out little pieces of the puzzle of some things that are ahead for 24 Church, and just some exciting days ahead. I know I've been asking everybody to be praying about where God might have them to be in ministry. Pretty sure something just fell from the ceiling. It's very strange. Sorry. Look at the little thing. I can't help myself. Some exciting stuff coming up. And so we're excited about getting to share some of that stuff. And I'll talk about some of it today, but not in any in-depth of all. And just to kind of leave you being teased and going, I want to know more. And you'll find out more. Just keep coming back. So just it'll be good. If you got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. We're gonna go to the book of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers will bring you one. They have stacks of them, and we would love for you to have one. If you don't own one, you can keep it. If you left it in the car or at home, then you can borrow it. But just raise your hand. Let one of the ushers get you a Bible so you can follow along with us in Matthew today. We're not doing Sermon on the Mount, taking a break from Sermon on the Mount for a little bit to go through and talk about some of the things that we've got going on as a church and some of these things coming up. One of those things that's coming up, if you did not already know, is that in January the 2nd, 2005, is when 24 Church started having services. And so that will be come this January 2nd here this week. That will be 10 years for us as a church, if you can believe that. It is amazing to me that God has done that. I'll just be honest with you. I talk with a lot of church planters. I talk with a lot of pastors. I talk with a lot of churches that want to plant churches. A few years ago, I had a guy that is considered one of the church planting gurus. I actually had him as a professor for church planting long before I even knew that I would plant a church years and years ago. This guy's, I mean, just incredibly great dude. He spoke here years ago. When he got ready to leave, he just looked at me and he said, "Chris, this doesn't make any sense." He's like, this is probably, I can't figure this thing out. This is, you know, he said, I write books on this stuff and I talk with guys. He's like, this thing is an anomaly. And I just looked at him. I said, man, it's just a God thing. You know, it's what it is. And so for our 10th year anniversary, we are not going to celebrate that necessarily next week. Next weekend, we're going to do a service that is kind of a time of prayer for us as a church to be praying for our church and what God is leading us to. And when I say pray for the church, I hope that you know that when I say church, I'm not talking about buildings and stuff. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the people of the church. We'll be praying for God to lead us as individuals and collectively as the body of Christ. And so make sure you don't miss out next week. By the way, membership's heard this, but not everybody else maybe. For 2015, you know that we've been doing First Sundays every month for the past year. One of the things that we got together on and kind of felt led to do is to not do First Sundays every month this year. And so we're going to do First Sundays as we feel like there is a need, so to speak. And use those to kind of purposely go after what we feel like God is leading us to touch on, to talk about, to be a part of doing, or whatever it may be, month by month kind of thing. So next week, which normally would have been a first Sunday, is not going to be a first Sunday. And when we do have first Sundays, we will always have preschool classes for our children and stuff too. We're trying to learn and listen to everybody, and we know that that's been hard for some folks, whatever. We just want to make that stuff aware to you. Although next Sunday will be very different. And don't be afraid. You know, no reason to be afraid if you don't like talking to people or whatever. I know some of you, it freaks you out or whatever. You got to do something, pray with somebody or something else. We're not going to make you do any of that next week. But we would love for you to come and pray together with us for what we're going to be doing next week. It ought to be really cool. So don't miss out on it. But following next week, following the first Sunday of the month, the second and third Sundays of January, we will be celebrating our 10-year anniversary. And we purposely kind of put it off a week for people that might still be traveling because of holidays and that kind of thing. In fact, we had one of our deacons and deacons meeting bring it up. And he's like, man, I'm going to be taking my grandkids on vacation. You know, I really don't want to miss. And we're like, hey, okay. You know, we'll push it back a little bit. And there's probably other people that wouldn't want to miss too, and we don't want them to. And so on the 11th, will be the first Sunday that we are celebrating the 10-year anniversary. And on that Sunday, we're going to spend time remembering and looking back on what God has done. And so we'll be doing some storytelling and remembering we've invited. I've started inviting people that have moved away, that have been gone for a while or whatever, and ask them to come back and be a part. I've invited people to come that maybe God has used in different ways in the life of the church that maybe you don't know about, but they've been very instrumental in just saying yes to Jesus, basically, so that things could have happened that did to get us to where we are today. And some of those people don't even go to our church, but I've invited some of those people to maybe be able to share some of those things and share some of those stories. And the end goal, the end game of that is that we could look back and that we could make much of Jesus. We could glorify God and recognize what He's done to get us to here. Because, it's His story, and He deserves the glory for it. So we'll be talking about that stuff, some pretty cool stuff. Maybe you've never heard some of those stories. I guarantee you there's going to be something that day you've never heard before. But it'll be cool. So that'll be that Sunday, looking back and remembering and glorifying God for what He's already done in the life of 24 Church over 10 years. And then the week after that will be a looking forward to what God is going to do and praising Him for that and sharing some of the things. And that's when we're really going to roll out some of the things that God is leading us to do as a church and all that. And so it's exciting. It's an exciting time. And just to kind of wet your whistle a little bit, you know, basically, a few months ago, several months ago, I'd been spending a lot of time in prayer about our church and just kind of seeing us kind of stuck in some different ways of like, you know, feel like God is leading us to move forward, but we can't because of this or because of that. And just kind of had a little powwow, me and the Lord, and just said, you know, God, you want me to be at 24. If you want me to be at 24, I know you want to grow the church. I know you want to continue to reach people. I know you want to make disciples. I want to be a part of those things. What's that look like? And it just became evident to me there were several hurdles for us as a church to have to overcome to do that. And so, you know, I went to the other pastors on staff. We had a staff retreat, and I basically just sat down with them, and I just said, guys, I'll just be honest with you. I'm at a point where it's like either we got to go all in or we just get out. Because I just told them, I said, I don't think God wants me to go anywhere. I said, but I can't do it alone. So are we all in or what? You know, what's the deal? And so, you know, in the midst of that conversation, I think God had already begun working on the hearts of the other guys too in the same ways. And we collectively were like, yeah, this is it. We got to go for it. You know, let's do this. Let's be faithful and let's go after it. And so from that point, we just said, okay, well, we got to start figuring out what are the things that we feel like God would lead us to do as a church? Where does He want us to be? And how are we going to get there? And how we're going to get there usually means work and sacrifice and those kinds of things. And so then we started praying and dreaming and talking and just asking God to lead us and show us what does it look like for us to continue ministering, to continue to grow as a church and continue to reach people for the kingdom and glorify Jesus and everything that He's called us to do. And so in doing all that, that's some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about coming up. And you're like, well, I want to know what it is. You'll find out. So chill out, all right? We'll talk about it in a few weeks. But no, you see, and you can kind of see, you know, that, all the more reason why. Next week, we're going to gather together. We're going to pray together for what God is leading us to do. But again, we'll be celebrating the 10-year anniversary on those 2 weeks following next week. Pretty exciting stuff. So don't miss out on that if you can help it. So all that to say, we've also got in Luke talking about the anniversary stuff also. Just make mention that you may have seen this white and black bus parked out in the front on your way in, this glorious looking thing that the church does not own. Jason Pennington owns this thing. And that should be of no surprise to anybody sitting in this room, you know, that Penny owns this zebra bus. But he does, and it's awesome. Anyway, he's allowing us to use it today, basically to shoot videos. And so what we're asking is, we're asking folks, if you've got time after the service today and you can, go out to the zebra bus and just go in for, even if it's just a minute, and just share how God has been glorified through 24 Church. And it might be how God's used 24 in your life, the life of your family, or somebody else's, or whatever. I don't care. At the end of the day, we want the glory to be to God of what He's done in His church. And so go and share something, and we'll use some of that video probably here in a couple weeks, and it will be fantastic. You can go in and tell stories on people if you want to. Yes, student. Well, what do you have? To go places. Don't you have one of those licenses? Oh, okay. So yeah. Well, we've got some things to figure out with insurance and all that there too. We've been talking about this. So yeah, it's on the radar, and we would like to be able to use the bus. Obviously, Penny owns it, but there's some things we got to get figured out before we go. Just trying to figure out who's going to drive the bus. But hopefully nobody gets hurt on it making a video today or something, because then,
just watch your step,
okay? Watch your step. You've been warned, so don't come back with a lawsuit. We've already been through that several years ago. I don't want to do it again, all right? So anyway, but yeah, things that I did not think I was signing up for in planting a church. But yeah, well, let's do this. Get your Bible out. We're going to go to Matthew. And I want to ask you this question while you're doing that. I want to ask you this question. And I ask this question to people all the time. How's life? How's life? You know, and you just think for just a minute, just to yourself. You can answer that, because the truth is, it's impossible for me to get one-on-one with everybody in the room. And it was impossible for me to get one-on-one with everybody in the first service. And so, you know, so I ask this question for you to ask yourself and to be honest with yourself. How's life going? What's going on with it? Is it what you thought? You know, one of the conversations that I have had over and over and over again this year, and any of the guys that especially are part of the micro church that meets at my house on Sunday nights could tell you that one of the conversations we've had over and over and over that I've heard people say over and over and over is this: I'm not where I thought I would be. This is not where I thought I would be in life at this point. I had in mind I would be doing something different, be with somebody different, be doing something different, living somewhere different, whatever it may be, right? This is not where I thought I would be. And it's okay to dream a dream. It's okay, and we're going to be doing that as a church. I mean, I think God wants us to dream a dream. But there's a problem that arises sometimes with doing that. Is it sometimes that because we're dreaming the dream so much, or let's say we're fantasizing or thinking about what we thought life should be, and that we still want it to be, but it's not now, we sacrifice everything in the right now without realizing that we do it. We give up the things that are right now. We give up the opportunities and all these things. Because, you know, the question that I have to ask, when things haven't worked out to be the way we thought they would be, and this is a question that I want you to ask yourself, is why do you think they're not the way you thought they would be? Why do you think that's true? And if we look back on our lives, you know, for many of us, you know, and this may be situational to jobs or family or any number of things, you know, some of those things we can look at and go, well, sin was involved. You know, I can totally see where, you know, sin played a part in that, and because of a poor choice that person made, or even I maybe have made, or whatever, you know, there was consequences. It caused destruction, because that's what sin does, you know. And so, you know, we can look at some of those things and go, well, it's because of some of that, you know, that it's where I am. But the truth is that if you look back at it, no matter what, The truth is that God has us in the position, in the place that we are in right now, on purpose. There is a purpose. And so instead of ignoring those things and continuing to go, well, I'm not where I thought I would be, and you know, if I was where I thought I'd be over here, and we're daydreaming about that. Instead of continuing to just daydream about where we thought we should be, if we spend a little time saying, why, God, do you have me where I am right now? He's going to reveal some things to us that otherwise we may miss. And the truth is that we're good at missing these things sometimes because we so desperately want that dream to come true of whatever that was and wanted to be a rock star and it didn't work out or, you know, whatever it was, you know, kind of thing. Let me get you in on a secret. And it's not really a secret, but it's something that we don't think a lot about. Here it is. Satan seeks to destroy you. Satan seeks to destroy you. And he does it many times by destroying your belief in God wanting to use you. Let me say that again. He does it many times by destroying the belief in you that God wants to use you. He wants you to feel hopeless, worthless, useless, not good enough, like damaged goods. He wants you to feel like nobody wants you. He wants you to feel like you have nothing to offer ministry. You have nothing to offer the kingdom. You have nothing to offer the people around you. And the truth is that those things are lies. And we buy into them. And when we buy into those things, he cripples us. Actually, we cripple ourselves. He can't make us believe those things, but he's sure good at talking us into it sometimes. Here's the truth. God created us for his glory. He created us with a purpose. We know that those things are lies because we know that God created us with a purpose. We know that we've been created for his glory. And because we've been created for his glory, we know that when those things come up, we shouldn't believe them, but a lot of times we do. He has a plan for us. I don't know about you, but man, it really does me good to be reminded that God has a plan for me. Because there's so many days. I've had so many days this year, it seems like. You know, I've done a lot of reflecting, thinking about this is our last Sunday of the year. I've had a lot of days this year where I've just thought, man, God, I just don't know. Maybe you want to do something different with me. Maybe I should give this up. Or, you know what I mean? We all have those days, you know. And Satan's so good at talking us into believing these things. And the next thing we know, we're starting to like think about making decisions based upon lies. But we've got to go back to truth. And the truth is that God has a plan for us. He loves us and he created us for his glory. We are not useless. We are not hopeless. We are not worthless. We're not damaged goods. We're sinners. But God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to make up the difference for us. So that's not in play. God's done that. He's taken care of that. He's made the sacrifice for us that we couldn't make to do a great thing. And so what happens is we trade, you know, the truth for a lie, and the lie leads us to being a people that no longer offer anything for the kingdom. We quit serving God. We quit serving others. We just live in a pity party, you know. And, I've had some moments this year where I thought, man, you know, I was having pity party, you know. Nobody cares. What, I mean, it's just lies. It's lies. We know it's lies, you know. But the truth is, it's so easy to believe. Satan wants to cripple us, to keep us from doing ministry. God, however, wants to remind us of the truth. And the truth is that we've been created in his image for his glory. And that he's got a plan and he's got a purpose. So the question is how do we get from pity party to purpose? And this morning, I want to read through a passage of Scripture that I think is going to help us a whole lot today. And I hope that it helps you. I hope that it's encouraging to you. It may slap you in the face a little bit. Let me just tell you, my goal today is not for you to, you know, walk out of here feeling like you got beat down with the ugly stick, although you may have at some point in your life, you know, I'm just saying. But no, seriously, I want you to feel leaving today encouraged and reminded of the truth of the gospel, that Jesus is good and he's made up the difference, and that he has a purpose for us. Matthew chapter 25 says this in verse 14. And this is a parable, by the way, and before I even get into it, let me go ahead and tell you, this is the parable about the talents. And as we talk about the talents in this passage of Scripture, let me be real clear that when he's talking about talents, he's actually talking about a unit of money, okay? He's talking about some form of money, and it can be argued like to how much this, you know, a talent was really worth or whatever. It's believed by many that a talent was worth 60 denarii, which a denarii would have been a day's wage. So one talent would have been worth 2 months' wages, 30 days, or 60 days, I'm sorry. And so 2 months. And so, you know, for us to kind of think about this, that may be the case. It might have actually been a lot more money than that. We don't really know. There's no reason in kind of, you know, trying to figure it out, because all stuff I've read, it's like so back and forth, it could have been any number of things. Could have been gold, silver, bronze, copper, whatever, and weighed different things. I mean, so you know how this goes. But I want you to just understand that when he's talking about talent, he's talking about money. He's talking about a form of money. So here we go. Verse 14, this is a parable, and Jesus is speaking it. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more." We'll stop there. So we've got a guy, you know, we've got a master, and he's got 3 guys that were either slaves, they worked for him or something. We don't know just quite in depth, you know, exactly how that played out as far as their relationship, but something along those lines. And this guy entrusted these 3 different guys to take money that was his and go invest it in his absence. To one he gives 5, to one he gives 2, to one he gives 1. And he says, go invest it. Go and get a return on it. And so you've got this. And the first one, it says in verse 16 right there, it says, "He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more." I think one of the things that's interesting that you see that he does is that he went at once. Like, he did not wait to do this. You know, he didn't go, "Well, you know, I'm gonna take my 5 talents and, you know, I'll take a little vacation on it. I'll figure I'll make some money back on it later on. You know, I won't spend it all right now, and we'll use some of it to go, you know, and have a good time," or anything. I mean, you don't see any of that. He goes at once, traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So he basically took his investment and made 100% back. Then in verse 17, it says this. It says, "So also, he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more." So same deal. This guy had 2. He makes 2 more, so now he's got 4. And then in verse 18, it says, "But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money." So apparently he thinks he's a pirate. So we've got the 3 guys. They've been told to go and invest the money. The master's money. It's not their money, right? They've been told to go and invest the master's money that it would make a profit. The first 2 guys, they do, and they make good profits. The 3rd guy, not so much. Digs a hole in the ground, puts the money in the ground. Verse 19, it goes on. It says, "Now after a long time," and I think we'll come back to that "after a long time" bit, "but now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them." After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he comes back. It's been a while. We know for a long time. And he comes back to settle accounts. Verse 20, it goes on, it says, "And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" This is there's a relationship change, it almost feels like, the way he says this. "Enter into the joy of your master." Verse 22, it goes on, it says, "And he who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' The master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Same exact response, right? Verse 24. "He who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow.'" I want you to pay real close attention to what he says there. "Reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed." In other words, he's saying, "I know you to be a hard man. I know you so well that like you want to make money on things you never even made an investment on. You want to go over here into a field and make money off of a field that we never even sowed seed. You never even did anything there." And he says in verse 25, "So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But the master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's a tough deal on 1 talent guy, right? I mean, he's taking a hit. So here's what's going on. Why is Jesus sharing this parable? You know, at the end of the day, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? He's talking about us and our relationship to God. He's talking about our faithfulness. He's talking about what's it look like for us to be faithful to God. It's very simple. And the truth is that if you go through this parable, you see all these little things of things that we do. See all little things that we do. In fact, you know, for starters, you know, we do or don't do the at once thing. You know, you've got the guy with the 5 talents. I call him the 5 to 10 guy because he turned 5 into 10. You know, so you got 5 to 10 guy. 5 to 10 guy, I mean, what'd he do? He went at once. I mean, he recognized the hugeness. He recognized the weight of what the master had put on him and said, "You know what, man, this is huge. He's given me 5 talents? I mean, think about it. Let's go with what's considered probably the low end of the possibility financially of what that was. That would have been 10 months of wages. Possibly. Possibly a whole lot more. And he's told the guy, "Hey, you go and you invest it." So he realizes, man, this is huge. This is a huge deal. He's offering me, asking me to do in his absence. In his absence. Right? And so what's he goes at once. Jesus is sharing this parable. And at the end of the day, he's wanting us to see our relationship to God. And he's wanting us to see how we take the things that God has given us and invest them for the kingdom of God. So, big overarching question today is, are you investing for the kingdom of God? Are you glorifying God with your life? Did you know that the purpose of our lives is to glorify God? That is the sole purpose of our lives, that He created us for His glory. And you may go, well, Chris, I don't even know what that means. What does it mean that He created us for His glory? He created us that we might make Him known. In other words, that the people that are around us in this world while we're still sucking wind on planet Earth would know Jesus because they know us. Okay? More simply put, maybe. Jesus is being very specific in how He shares this story. And if you go back to verse 24 and we look at one talent guy says in verse 24, it says, he also who had received one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Pirate. So, you know, what's the deal with this? Here's the deal with this. This is exactly what we do sometimes. This is exactly what we do sometimes. If you look at verse 24 there. Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed, so I was afraid. Here's what he does. He turns it on the master and blames the master for his own actions, doesn't he? You ever do that with God? You ever blame God for not following God Himself sometimes? Well, God, I was going to do that, but, I mean, you really didn't work it out to make it very easy for me to do it, so I didn't do it. So, there you go. You know, or, you know, well, God, you know, I would do more ministry in my life, you know, if you didn't make me work so much. These are the games that we play with God, you know, and you can fill in the blanks and fill in other things for whatever it is. But at the end of the day, a lot of times we make excuses and we blame God Himself for why we don't follow Him. And the truth is that Jesus is pointing this out. He's very wise. And He's saying, so, you know, He goes on, the guy says, so I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Well, I mean, we know for a fact God doesn't want us to be afraid. God doesn't want us to fear. In fact, the opposite, and we're going to read a passage of Scripture here in just a few minutes that points and helps us to see that coming straight from Paul when he's in prison out of the book of Philippians. And you know, I think for us just to even kind of comprehend, you know, so many times we do the same thing. Because we are afraid, we back away from the things that God's called us to. So here comes the question of the day. Here comes the question of the day. What is God leading you to? What is God calling you to? That's that magical word that people want to like make some kind of mythical unicorn thing. Like, oh, a calling from God. You know what? God calls us all the time through His Word to follow Him. Our calling is to follow Him. Our calling is to glorify Him. It's very simple. We make it a lot harder than it is. And then we want to make it some mythical deal of like, well, I feel called to start this ministry and to do this thing. And God does lead us to do those things sometimes, there's no doubt. And I've been through some of that in my life. But the truth is that our calling is to follow Him and glorify Him every day of our lives and everything that we do. Did you know that that's even possible? Did you know that it's possible for us to glorify God in everything that we do? Did you know that? You know, well, Chris, you don't work where I work. I've heard that a lot. God has put you right where you are on purpose. That may be hard to understand, and we may never make sense of that, by the way. Let me just clarify. We may never completely understand why we are in the situation, predicament, town, relationship, whatever it is that we are in, but we're in it for a reason. We're in it for a purpose. And I can guarantee you that purpose is always the same purpose. It is always to glorify God. You see how complicated we make it and how simple it really is? But here's the truth. Here's what happens. We become one talent guy all the time. All the time we become one talent guy. every conversation that I've had this year, last couple years, of people saying, I'm not where I thought I would be. I thought I'd be doing something else. I thought I'd be somewhere else. Every one of those conversations have been about thinking about something that never happened, never was. And in essence, if we're not careful, we will hang our hat on what has never happened so much that we will miss right now. And you see, 5 to 10 guy, right? And 2 to 4 guy, those guys, they didn't do that. They went at once. I'm sure there was something they probably could have complained about. I'm sure they could have been like, well, you know, sure wish we had like some better camels or something. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what they got going on, but you know, some better sandals or robes or something. I don't know. Whatever. And at the end of the day, what did they do? He went at once. And he was faithful to what the master had put on him. And this is what God's waiting on for us most of the time. Most of the people that I end up counseling, in some way, shape, or form, this is what God is waiting on with them. And they're like, well, I'm just waiting on God to do something. Hello? God's just waiting on us to not be lazy. Go, well, Chris, that's awful harsh. Jesus wouldn't ever say that. He sure did. Look at verse 26. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. What do you think slothful means? Jesus is being very specific. This is Jesus' words. They're not mine. I'm just reteaching them here, okay? He's saying wicked because he's saying, you know, you're in a situation where you don't care. You don't love me because he wouldn't be wicked if he loved his master. If he'd cared for his master, the first two guys, they obviously cared. I mean, they cared so much that, like, they went to town. I mean, they're like, man, they're gone. There was no promise to them that they were going to get to keep any of that money. They were just doing what they were supposed to do. But they cared. And they went and they took care of business. And the last guy, what? Jesus calls him wicked and slothful. And the truth is that a lot of the things that God calls us and leads us to do in this life take hard work, mean sacrifice, mean not being lazy. And truthfully, at the end of the day, a lot of it comes back to, do we really love Jesus? We love the idea of loving Jesus, but do we really love Jesus? Because if we really love Jesus, then everything changes for us. If we really love Jesus, if we recognize, you know, how great and awesome and amazing He is and what He's done for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, that He died the death that we deserve, that His blood covers all of our sins, and that He offers forgiveness freely no matter who we are and what we've done, that if we believe and trust in Him, that He will be our Savior. When you put it in terms like that, and you come back to that, it's like, man, Jesus, I'm humbled. I'm amazed. And I love You. And my response to that is going, Jesus, what do You want me to do? What do You want me to do? And every time, Jesus' answer to Chris is, Chris, I've put you in the situation that you're in, and it's not on accident, and I want you to glorify me in everything that you do. May you be a light. May you be a light in that neighborhood. May you be a light in that job. May you be a light in those friends' lives. We make it much harder than it is. And unfortunately for so many of us, because we're so fascinated with, you know, the life that we never had, that we miss out on the one that we've got, and we miss out on God using us to do things for His kingdom because we're hanging our hat somewhere else where we're not even living. We're one talent guy. One talent guy at the end has zero, you know? I don't want to be one talent guy. I want to be 5 to 10 guy. 5 to 10 guy gets one talent guy's talent, you know? And you go, well, Chris, are you just saying you just want more stuff? No, I'm not saying I want more stuff. I'm saying that's not what Jesus is saying. What He's talking about here is He's saying that He would, that the master would give more to those that are faithful. And so I've talked to so many people who are just like, well, I'm just waiting for God to do something. Be faithful to God. Seek Him. Spend time in His Word. Begin to pray. Let Him convict your heart. I guarantee you, you will begin to figure out real quick some things in your life that you need to be faithful in doing, in following Him. That is our calling. He'll begin to convict your heart. He'll begin to change your life. We got to let Him, but He'll do it. And here's the beauty of it. Here's the amazing part of it. That when we're serving Jesus, that when we are following Him with our hearts, we will find no greater joy than when we are following Him to do His will and to fulfill the calling that He has placed on our lives. That is the best place that you can possibly be in. There's a couple families I have in mind, just as I'm thinking about this, talking about this, that are families that I look at and I really feel like they are really trying to glorify the Lord with their lives. I really feel that. I'm talking about some people that live around here, people part of our church. And you know what? They don't have a whole lot. And they don't need a whole lot. And they'd tell you. And it's not because they don't work. I'm talking about dudes that work circles around probably anybody in the room. And you go, oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about some dudes that work hard for their families. I'm talking about some families that, man, they are about following the Lord with their households, with their lives. You know? I'm blessed to know them. That's how I feel about them, kind of thing. Like I'm challenged even by them. And, you know, it's real easy for us to get situational about our lives. But the truth is that according to the gospel and according to what Jesus has shared with us and all these things, is that our situation shouldn't matter as far as us being faithful to God or not. You know, our situation shouldn't matter in that. And we know that. I mean, we like the thought of that. We like thinking, well, yeah, in suffering, I want to glorify God no matter what. But the rubber hits the road when that really happens in our life. You know, Chris, honestly, you know, on the outside, I've been portraying that I'm one thing, that I am trusting in the Lord and I'm trying to follow Him. But on the inside, truthfully, I'm bitter. I'm bitter and I'm mad and I'm angry at God and I'm blaming Him. And that puts us right back to being one talent guy. God, it's your fault. Things are hard, so I can't follow you right now. Really? Really? We're going to get situational with God. We're going to tell Him about what hard is when Jesus died a death on our behalf. We killed Him. He shed His blood for us. He knows all about it. He knows all about suffering. We beat Him literally within an inch of His life. What God has done for us, we can't even comprehend. And one talent guy comes and he goes, well, man, I know you're hard. I know you're hard, man. I know you try to make money on anything, even the stuff that you didn't even put an investment into. So I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. And Jesus, well, the master, turns and he says to the guy, well, if you know that I'm that guy, then you should have at least taken my money and put it in the bank where I could have at least got some interest on it, right? You're wicked and you're slothful. And the truth is that in our hearts, a lot of times we're wicked. We're not at all concerned about the kingdom of God. We're not at all concerned about Christ. And I don't say that in some kind of guilt form type thing here today. I want you to know that. I want you to leave here today being encouraged with the gospel. But to get there, sometimes we got to be honest with ourselves. We got to say, what's really going on in my heart? Because I'll be honest with you, stuff can be going on the outside. You could be one of the greatest ministers on earth. And if what's in your heart is not where it needs to be, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to be bitter, you're going to be angry, you're going to be mad. You're going to end up being one talent guy. You don't want to be one talent guy. I want to be 5 to 10 guy. I want to be a guy that Jesus looks at, that God looks at, and he says, you know what, Chris, I'm going to put this on you because I know that you're found faithful. I want our church to be full of 5 to 10s. You know? I want God to look at 24 Church, and I want him to see a group of people that are so faithful, that give an opportunity, that he would say, I can put these people, I can send these people to that church. These people would get loved at that church. These people would hear the gospel at that church. These people would be ministered to at that church. That's the church I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a church that God looks at and he says, those people are faithful to me. And because they're faithful to me, I can give them more. Great. Sorry. Daughter has a My Little Pony app on my iPad. It's going off right now. I guess the ponies are ready to be fed or something. I don't know. Life with girls, that's what you get. If everyone wants to play some My Little Ponies, we got them. They're at the house. Man. You know, I think for so many of us, we want to be faithful to God. We really do. I mean, and that's our hearts. And a lot of times we're struggling with what's it look like for us to do that. Let me give you this piece of advice today. It starts with taking the life that God has given you right now and being faithful with it. We can't expect God to give us any more until we're faithful with what we've got. And you may in your heart be going, well, I want to do great things for the Lord. I want God to use me in great ways. And those are great things to desire. Those are great things to want. Those are great things to pray for. But God is waiting for us to be faithful with right now. And until we're faithful with right now, he's looking at us and he's going, I gave you some talents. And what'd you do with them? God understood in creating us, our hearts, well enough to know that when he would give us things like money, possessions, treasures, time, even actual talents, you know, you're good at doing this or that or whatever. He knew that our hearts, our sinful hearts, would veer toward worshiping those things over him at times. That's why he asks us to give back. That's why he asks us to sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? That's a part of why we give. That's a part of why we give financially. That's a part of why we've got to recognize that we can't differentiate ministry and life. Ministry and life are the same thing. Our lives should be ministry. As God places people in our lives, people that are hard to deal with, that we might be the only people on the planet in their entire lives that actually show that we love them and care for them like Jesus has done for us. And you go, Chris, I don't really want to love those people sometimes. I know. But there's no accidents. And there's no accident why they're in your life. There's no accident why they're in my life. God wants to find us faithful. Remember what it said? When the master came back to settle the accounts, how long did it take him? After a long time, right? Why? Why did it take him a long time? I think that's on purpose. I think that's, again, that's part of us being found faithful. And I think you know, just us being honest with each other, I think if we're really honest with each other, I think that if we would admit it, we would say, well, you know, I love ministry. I love ministry where, like, I just get to do something and I just see God change everything. That's just awesome. Let's find ministry that does that all the time. Well, I'm telling you what, ministry doesn't work like that. Our master's coming back. But there's a long time between here and whatever point that he chooses to do that. And in the meantime, when he finally does come back, he wants to find us faithful. And that means that we've got to be willing to invest in people's lives. We've got to be willing to invest in ministry. And that's not always the quick fix that we really like, you know? When I was a student pastor, I could do ministry that could bring a big crowd. It's easy to do. And then, you know, we'd share the gospel, and, you know, some of those kids would get saved, and some of them would stick around, and a lot of them would not. And, you know, I found out over time, you know, as much as, and my heart really was, like, bent toward, like, I want to lead, I want to get to be a part of leading people to Jesus, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a great thing to want. But I realized that there was also this piece missing called discipleship of, you know, you gotta pour in, you gotta invest. So start investing in kids and pouring into kids. And I realized, you know, it's like God has to reteach you this over and over the years. You know, you gotta continue to do that. We have to continue to do that. But here's the deal. It is a we thing. It is not a pastor thing. It is a we thing. It is the church thing that we would love, that we would disciple, that we would lead folks to Christ together. And after a long time tells us that we need to be willing to spend some time to invest and just hunker down and say, I'm in for the long haul. Jesus calling dude out for being slothful is this reminder that we can't be lazy. Ministry is hard work a lot of times. Many of you can attest to that. You've been a part of some ministry. At times you've been like, I am so done with this right now. I would like to go home and do something else. You know? But here's the truth. Ministry isn't just Sundays, okay? Ministry should be our life. We shouldn't be able to differentiate ministry from the rest of our life. God wants to use us for His glory. It is a part of His mission that He would do so in every aspect of our life. Do you see how that might change things in the lives of other people? People that look up to us, people that are friends of ours, that if we would follow Him and we would be faithful in that. We make it harder than it is. And then we make excuses and blame God, tell Him it's His fault because of our situation isn't what we thought that it should be, and go, well, God, if You'd made my situation the way it should have been, I'd serve You. And here's my big concern. If we're not interested in the mission of God, if we're not interested in Christ using us and God being glorified in our lives, then I'm concerned that either we have fallen out of communion with God and our relationship is void with Him, or it's possible that we just don't know Jesus to begin with. That's a hard question to ask ourselves. Are we not at all spending time with God? Because I'm telling you, when I spend time with God, I mean, He fuels my heart. I spend time in His Word. I mean, you can read Christian books and all that stuff. That stuff's good. It can be great. If it helps you, good. But let me tell you what, there is something special about just sitting down and getting to read just a piece of God's Word and say, God, speak to my heart. And just how God will convict my heart and change my heart and begin to lay people on my heart and all these things. That is following Jesus. When those things begin to happen and then we turn, right? We turn and we what? We go and we do those things. That's following Christ. Because if we love Him, we will serve Him. And our lives will be different. And we won't bow down to this world. And He will, Jesus will receive our worship. Everything will change. We have been entrusted with a piece of the Master's pie. And God expects us to be good stewards of it. I sat on London's bed 2 nights ago after having Christmas and just looking at all of the stuff that we have. And I told my girls, this was bedtime or whatever, I told my girls, usually mom does this, but And she sings and all this stuff, and I don't sing. Sometimes I do, okay. But I sat down that night, and I just really felt God leading on my heart. And I'd seen some things last week, just seen some poverty in the county that we live in. And I just told my girls, I said, you got to know. And I want you girls to know that God has blessed us with so much. I said, so much more than we really recognize. And immediately Violet started talking about people that live in other countries and, you know, things like that, and maybe we should do something for them. And I said, yes, baby, that's a great thing. I said, but baby, I'm talking about people that live like within a mile of our house. God's called us to be the church that reaches those people, loves them, cares for them. And I told him, I said, sorry, not expected. I told him, I said, I don't know how, I don't know what the way is that we do it. I said, it has to start with us being real with where we are in the position that God has placed us in, that maybe it's that we give away some of our things to them. And I said, I don't even know how that happened. So they were asking questions. They're like, how do we do it, Dad? How do we do it? You know, and I'm like, I'm not sure, you know. But it's just this reminder that God has called us to be this church here in Cheatham County, Robertson County, between Clarksville and Nashville and Ashland City and Springfield, that we would be the church that loves Jesus enough that we would go and that we would love them, that we would quit being so worried about our lives. God wants us to be that church. He wants us to be that light, and He wants us to care. And at the end of the day, He wants us to do those things so that they see Him and not us. Because it's not about us. It's not about us feeling better about ourselves because we do those things. It's about His glory. And that's a reality for us of where we live. God's people will be rewarded for their faithfulness. And those who fail to use the gifts given to them will find separation from God. And you may say, well, why will people find separation from God for people that are not faithful in being good stewards of those things? It's because it's sin. And sin separates us from God. God doesn't want us to be separated from Him. In fact, that's why He says, bring a piece of it back to me. Give a piece back to me. And you may say, well, Chris, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about our time? Are we talking about our treasure? Are we talking about our money? We're talking about all of it. We're talking about everything here. And that's hard for us, I know, because we want to compartmentalize things and try to figure out and get legalistic on it and figure out, here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Instead of looking at it like you've always looked at it and going, well, you know, is it 10% of something? Is it this much of something? Is it that or whatever? Instead, I'm just saying, you know, the New Testament teaches us that we would just give with our hearts. And so today, I just say, pray. Pray and be led by the Lord. What's that look like for you? I can't tell you what that looks like for you. That's the great thing. It's off me. I've just got me to deal with, okay? Me and my family, I got us to deal with. That's hard enough for Chris, I can guarantee. And so, you know, I'm glad to just say that's between you and the Lord. Let the Lord lead you. He will call you. He will show you the way. And in the Master's absence, we have been called to go about His business. He's coming back. He's coming back. When He comes back, will He find us to be faithful? I hope so. Man, I hope so. Man, do you realize that a church, a group of people like this group of people, like we sitting here right now, if we would be faithful to the Lord, if we'd be faithful into just following Him, whatever He would lead us to do, that we would be willing to pray that prayer of your will be done and actually be willing to just follow in whatever His will might be. Do you realize how God could use that for His kingdom? Do you realize the impact that could have on our community? 2015. What about a brand new blank slate? What about a brand new palette to color with? We can follow the Lord, and He could use us to do great things for His kingdom. And I know that that's what He wants to do. I know it because His Word teaches it over and over and over again. And you may go, Chris, I'm scared. I'm scared that God will lead me to do something different for work. Well, you know what? So be it. Maybe God wants you to do something different for work. Well, Chris, I'm scared because, you know, how am I gonna provide? You know what? God is the ultimate provider. I don't say that half-heartedly. The last time I preached about that, we lost a huge part of our income every month. That was only like a few months ago. The very next day, by the way, I mind you. And it was like, okay, God, I get it. I can't just teach about it. I get to experience it. It's part of life. But God's in control. And He's got it. And we just need to trust and be faithful. And you may say, well, Chris, I'm just scared. Well, let me say to the part that you're scared. Philippians 4:4 says this. And we're going to end with this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul writing this from prison, by the way. Rejoice in always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. You know what that means? A reasonableness is somebody that's not swayed by the circumstance of life. Like they're not getting angry. They're not worried. They're staying the course. It says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you're looking for peace, you're not going to find it in your job. If you're looking for peace, you're not going to find it in a relationship. If you're looking for peace, it only comes from one place. And that's Jesus Himself. So why do we chase down other things to get something we can't get when all along it's when we follow our Savior? Why would we be afraid? We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be, and He tells us, do not be anxious in anything. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But I want you to leave today recognizing that where God has put you right now is on purpose. And together, collectively, as the body of believers known as 24 Church, we are together on purpose, right? That's a little scary, to be honest with you, because some of you I just know too much about, and let's just face it, you're jacked up, okay? But God's put us together on purpose that we might be on mission together for His kingdom together, that we might follow Him together. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for that. And I want to encourage you, stop believing the lies and rest in the truth of the Lord. You are not useless. You are not worthless. God loves you. You are not damaged goods. God created you, and He wants to use you for His glory. He has a purpose for your life. As the saying goes, where there is no risk, there is no reward. Albert Einstein said kind of the same thing, but he said it like this. A ship is always safe at the shore, but that is not what it was built for. We were built for God's glory. Might we follow Him to do whatever it takes that He would be glorified in our lives. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, or you question whether or not you've ever trusted Jesus or not as your Savior, I just want to encourage you today. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. Died the death that you couldn't die to forgive you through the shedding of His blood. If you believe in Him and trust in Him, He wants to save you. He wants to make you new. Let's let 2015 be new. If you want to talk to somebody about any of that, we'll be here after the service is over with. We'd love to pray with you, talk with you. Let's pray together.